Hey guys.
Hi. Welcome back to the pod, but wait, this
guys.
Is so exciting. Hi, Sophia.
Hey, Hannah. We're doing this remote. Can you even believe it?
Yeah. Don't know if you guys can tell because I'm sure we sound perfect.
Okay. I think Hannah's sound is going to be perfect and then my sound, we'll see about it.
I don't know. Dude, like, it's really hard to say. It's like we're doing our best with what we have.
We are white. That is such an amazing way to put it. We are quite literally doing our best with what we have. And what we have isn't a ton.
No, it's like all of the equipment at my house.
And I have a microphone.
And Sophia has a microphone.
I have a literal errant microphone that I am trying my best to use.
Did you bring that back with you or was it already there?
No, I brought that back with me. Thankfully, I wish my dad had podcast recording equipment. You know, my dad has a radio show.
For real?
Yeah, he made me listen to it the other day.
Oh my God, about what?
I don't know. They just talk about stuff and he made me listen to the person on it being like really effusive about him.
Okay. That's amazing. Wait,
his narcissism is getting worse.
It's like tripping me out because it's like we're on a phone call, but my video doesn't work. So I'm just looking at you. Yeah. I am just looking at you.
Yeah, we also had a computer.
My computer came without a camera.
Right. So in that way, I can't see her, but I can see myself, which is normal. Makes me feel normal.
Yeah, of course.
Wait, I miss you. I wish I could see your face.
Oh my God, I miss you too. It's been literally forever.
I know. It's been a week and a half. It feels like a month. And yeah. I still have 2 more weeks here.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Wait, is your mom there?
Nope, she left.
No. She left.
Yeah, my cousin is coming to visit me though on Monday, which will be nice. But no, my mom is not here. My mom was here for a week taking care of me, and then she left on yesterday morning. This is just for the people listening. I feel like you know all this. And then I had I'm at home recovering from surgery, in case anyone didn't know that. And then I had my first post-op appointment yesterday, and I got to take a shower.
Yay!
But that's kind of, should we ask each other what sexy, unique thing happened to us this week?
Yeah.
Crazy, because Hannah and I haven't FaceTimed since I've been gone, so there's obviously so much to talk about, but we can't, like, talk about everything, I feel.
No, we can't. I mean, there's
because it would be hours long.
There's literally not time. And also, you guys would find some of it boring, I'm sure.
Yeah, 100%.
Okay, so let me ask you, Sophia, what sexy, unique thing happened to you this week?
Well, 2 sexy, unique things. Obviously, I got my tits chopped off, which was amazing.
Go.
Woo! I will say that I do feel sexier about being able to take the shower yesterday. Like, in terms of how I feel. Obviously, I'm so glad to have gotten that surgery, but it's not like I quite feel sexy yet.
Right. I mean, you're still in recovery mode.
And I was literally, I felt like when The Sims mood gets low because their hygiene is low. Did I tell you that?
No, that's you didn't tell me that.
And I did literally feel like there were flies swarming around me. I started to produce a smell that I actually didn't know a human could produce. It was so gross.
Wait, so you weren't able to shower
for 8 days?
Yeah. Wow.
Yep. Wow. And it was crazy. It literally was crazy. Like, I would say day maybe 2-3, fine. Not that bad, right? Day 4, interesting. Things are starting to smell more. When we are getting into day 5, 6, 7 territory, it was actually the like nastiest smell. Like,
well, that's where things sort of start to take a turn.
And you guys know that I've been having a sweating issue on top of that.
I know. Well, I was going to say, you're kind of just laying down and sweating and you're like venturing into uncharted territory with that. Because you've never had to just sit with it before.
It was crazy. And actually even worse, which is like honestly disgusting because it's like, damn, your hygiene was that bad. I was really itchy. Like,
no.
Yep. My armpit started itching so bad. My dad had
armpits.
Yes. Because it's just like there's, I mean, it's literally just like just bacteria and like sweat. And like literally I was like, oh my God. I was spraying like anti-itch spray on my armpits.
Uh-huh. Like for bugs and stuff?
Basically that kind.
Yeah.
I don't know if it was placebo or not, but it did seem to help.
Okay.
Because I would be laying in bed trying to go to sleep, being like, it's so bad. Yes. And then I took such a long shower yesterday. I took such a long shower that I was like, damn, I wish I'd brought my water bottle down here. I'm getting dehydrated. I had to wash under my armpits, I would say 5 to 6 times. The smell did not come off. The smell did not come off all the way. Smell did not come off all the way.
All the way, still there a little bit.
Still there a little bit because I couldn't put my armpit, my arm up. Like, I could only, like, put out my arm a little bit. And so I couldn't, like, get my armpit exposed under the scalding water. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
It's not bad, but I was like, it's not 100% gone.
Well, you'll get there.
So then I have to wear this vest.
Right.
I have to wear an amazing vest. I have to wear basically, well, first layer is that I have to put on protection on my nipples.
Right.
And then I have to put foam pads on top of that, kind of like a Tempur-Pedic pad.
Yeah.
And then I have to put a basically front closure binder on top of that. And then I have to put another layer of compression on top of that.
You really need to keep that stuff squeezed in.
That thing reeked so bad. And my dad washed it once. And the smell actually didn't even change at all.
No way.
And then he had to hand wash it in the sink.
Oh my God.
And that helped a lot, but it was like crazy. When he first brought it out, I actually got so sad because I was like, well, I can't. No. I was like, I can't put that back on. I was like, if I put that back on, it'll make me sad again. And ever since last night when I showered, my dad says that I look like a whole new person.
Wow.
I have a whole different vibe about me.
Yeah, you're happy again.
We could not have recorded this yesterday before I showered. We could not have. I would have been like, just in a bad place.
With like in a cartoon when kind of like they draw like little smell lines coming
out. That is exactly how I felt. Literally, I felt like I had little smell lines coming off of me and little flies swarming around me. Exactly. So the shower really helped my overall demeanor.
That's amazing. Well, I'm so happy. And attitude. You're happy.
Thank you.
Yeah. I mean, I've been in a place where I haven't showered for 5-6 days. Last year at Pride, famously ran out of soap, ran out of face wash. Didn't take a shower for a full week. And by the end of it, I was feeling really down.
That is crazy.
I've had a taste of
I was feeling down. Something about having to keep the arms glued to your side made it like create a new biome.
Right. Like, of course.
Because I feel like I've probably gone like 4 or 5 days without showering. Like if I'm somewhere where we're swimming a lot or whatever.
Yeah.
But the way that you're just like arms glued to your side.
Well, if there's no air getting in there and there's just sweat building on itself.
Just something insane.
Something's bound to happen.
I can't explain it and people don't understand what I've been through, but I've been through a lot. Okay, wait. What sexy, unique thing happened to you, Hannah?
I've been a little bit sick for 2 weeks.
Oh, I know.
I've been working sort of crazy style. which is amazing. I thought that oh man, Sophia's going away, which sucks, but we're going to have a break from the pod and whatever. Cause like from recording, we had a pretty intense recording schedule.
And we did.
Well, just in case I was nervous about having too much free time, that time got filled up with restaurant job.
Of course.
So been kind of busting no worries there. Absolutely no worries. She didn't have to rest. Don't worry about that, guys.
I know y'all were so worried that I'd get a day off. Do not worry about it. It did not come to fruition.
Nope. Not this week. God. I did have some day off this week, but can you hear those sirens?
Whatever. It's okay.
What are we supposed
this
to do?
This whole episode is going to be audiographically busted, so I think we should just go ahead.
Like whenever.
Y'all, thank you for listening to this.
Hey, y'all are freaking excited.
Y'all are real for this, and this is raw.
This is literally so raw. Okay, what else was I gonna say? Basically I've been dating, so.
Oh my God, yeah, wait, you went on your date.
So I've been dating, whatever. I went on a really fun date, and yeah, basically we're gonna hang out again. And then yeah, I also went on a different date this week, and basically absolutely just kind of slaying in the field of love and romance and whatever.
Your
manifestation stuff came true. So
yeah, your manifestation stuff is coming true. What do you guys do for the first date?
It was a setup, a blind date.
Yes.
So I got instructions to, on my way to an unknown address, well, a known address, but unknown location, pick up a giant Slurpee from 7-Eleven. And I was like, I like the way this is going.
I love Slurpees. Those things are so good.
So good. And I obviously felt really embarrassed because I got it from the 7-Eleven. I was like, I have to try it to see if I got a good flavor. And then I drank, not kidding, half of it. on right, the wall of course. To the date.
I wouldn't build it. You know how I can suck down a sweet drink.
And I got there and I was like, sorry, girl. Like, I had to try it. And she goes, no, and I can see that.
I can tell. Half of it is gone.
So her little mission was to get like two nips, like shooters, alcohol. Fun. We put them in the slushie. We played at this arcade called Chinatown Fun, which was really fun. We did Dance Dance Revolution.
Oh, that's so fun.
We went to a bar called Whiskey Tavern where they had all of these signs up that said, like, one of them said Hannah. It said, congratulations, Greg and Hannah, Sunday fun day. And it was just like a bunch of different stuff like that. We were like, what is this? And the bartender was like, we have a printer back here. We just like to make them. Do you guys want one? And we were like, honestly, no. And then he was like, what's the occasion? Why are you here? And we were like, no occasion, because I'm not about to be like, it's our first date. And so then we went and sat down at our table. We were having our little drinks, gabbing, gabbing, gabbing. And then the bartender came over with a sign printed out with our names on it that said, here for no special reason, Hannah and whatever, and then taped it up behind us. And I was
awesome.
Like, okay. Thank you. Thank you, Rocco.
Thank you. Shout out, Rocco.
Literally, shout out, Rocco at Whiskey Tavern in Chinatown. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Doing the Lord's work.
Yes.
And then we discovered that we both love karaoke, so we went and we did some karaoke. Very spontaneous.
That is so fun. That is like Ariana and Tom going on random adventures vibes.
It literally is. Fuck. Yeah, and on Sunday we're gonna watch Gia. It is a lesbian film starring Angelina Jolie as one of the first gay supermodels. I probably would love it.
I need to watch that. Maybe I'll watch that with my crush. She showed me Pretty Woman last night. Have never seen that movie, enjoyed it thoroughly.
Wow, wait, she's not there, is she?
Nope, watched it remotely on our phones.
Okay.
Nope, okay, I wish. Perfect. Craving human contact so bad.
Right. Well, if she was there and I didn't know, I would be like, hello. No, and nobody's telling me anything
hello.
These days.
So my friends are lying to me. No, she's not here, I wish.
I watched the most recent episode of Traitors as well.
The last one, last night?
Yeah.
Okay, we have a lot to discuss. I'm pissed the fuck off is what I'll say. Danielle grinding my damn gears.
Dude, she is out of her mind bananas freak style, and she is absolutely lost her mind and it was scaring me.
I know. She literally is pissing me off. Oh my God. She cannot win.
I don't know what it
is about her that actually makes me mad. Like, I watch her on my screen and I get mad. I hate her. Sorry. I'm like, I do not like your personality. You are not good at this game and you're pissing me off.
The thing that makes me the most mad is that she's just not good at the game.
That's what I'm saying. And people literally are pretending that she's acting normal. And I'm like, that is one of the most insane women I've ever seen. She is literally tweaking out.
She is tweaking out more than Carolyn.
Way more.
Way
oh,
more.
Oh my God. No, they're going to get her out though, I feel like.
I think they're going to get her out next week. It'd be actually literally stupid of them not to.
I'm going to be so fucking pissed if she and Brittany kill Gabby.
Me too.
Because I need Gabby to win. And when Gabby was like, it seems like two traitors fighting each other, I was like, my girl is so smart. I have a crush on her. She's so cute.
I know. She is so cute.
She's so pretty.
It really made me laugh when Ivar was like, there's two traitors left and they're both women. And then the two traitorous women started screaming at each other, the only two to talk the entire round table.
Yeah. Yes.
Like the rest of them actually have to be stupid if they
no,
don't
I know. It is shocking to me like how bad people are at that game. Like
yes, for how seriously they take it.
Yes, and I really am like, y'all need to watch a couple of seasons of this before you come on the show.
I know. The way they're repeating the mistakes of the past, being like, that person can't be a traitor because they're my friend. Bitch, are you kidding?
I know. Or literally like when they did that challenge this episode, we're talking about this if you haven't seen it. I'm sorry, fast forward. I'm not going to explain. But when they did the challenge and Carolyn was like giving advice saying like, oh, it should be this or this. Literally, I just watched a season where one of the traders did that and it blew up their game. And I was like, so y'all need to do your homework if you want to win the $250,000.
And it's like, yeah, it's like literally if you want to win the $15 that they're going to throw at you at the end, you need to look into it a little bit more before.
Just do it. It actually would help them tremendously. And they just like so obviously don't that
it's
I'm like.
It's not like they're not allowed. I don't know why they're not doing it.
I don't know. It's very strange. It's literally very. But I feel like there's a chance that Dylan has watched it, honestly, because he literally was saying, like, I have to actually think about the people that are the closest to me, because that is what gets people at the end. And I could also see maybe that Gabby had watched it too. But the traitors in particular, I'm like, y'all need to watch the show.
Well, Danielle has certainly not seen this program.
No. No way. Pissing me off. I hate her.
Danielle.
Wait,
too.
I also watched, I showed my mom the first episode, and she was like, the first episode when Tom Sandoval comes down sweating bad, she was like, do you think the producers, like, they made him do that? And I was like, no. No one made him sweat. She literally was like, is that like a setup or something? I was like, no girl, he's just sweating bad publicly.
That's just how he is.
That's how he's expressing himself.
Yeah, well, that's how he's expressing the drugs from his system.
Literally. Wow. Tom's arc has been so funny as well.
I know, dude. Wait, have you seen the TikToks too?
Of that guy?
Yeah, and they met.
Yeah.
And people are like, no redemption for Tom Sandoval. And it's like, it doesn't matter.
Whatever, I'm over. People are like, your boyfriend is a red flag. I'm like,
oh, shut the fuck up. Come on.
If I had only seen Tom Sandoval in Traitors, I would love him.
I would love him so much. I'd be laughing at him.
He's being a clown.
He's so funny.
Duh. Yeah.
Your boyfriend is a fucking red flag.
They literally are like, your boyfriend is a cheater. It's like he actually doesn't even know what he did.
That man has never existed to him before the show.
Should we get into it?
Yeah.
So we're on season 2, episode 6, Lisa's Angels.
Lisa Evangelista.
Okay. So this opens in an amazing way. We're at Lisa's house, and Katie and Sheena are in the backyard. And Sheena is doing a back walkover, back bend.
Yeah.
Which one is that called?
Sheena is doing a back walkover into a handstand.
And she has her foot still wrapped up. And Katie goes, that cannot be good for your ankle. And Sheena says, it feels a lot better. I'm just keeping it wrapped up, so I'm like aware of it.
So right? That you remember that you have an injury also, that you are faking.
Yes, because think about how slight that bruise was when we first saw it. It's been a week. It's at insane least. That she still has it wrapped up.
At least a week, maybe two.
And
she's had other maladies since then. When Katie says that, she's swinging on a giant storybook swing. That looks like it is straight out of like Once Upon a Time Land.
Yes, literally a swing that looks like it would be in Disney World or Land. And then Jeremy, Sandoval, and Peter show up, and it is pride, guys. It is pride.
It's gay pride.
It's fucking pride. My enemy, Kevin Lee, shows up.
Dude, Kevin Lee, everything is fabulous to him. He sucks.
His face is so fucked up. It looks like he's wearing a human face mask.
Well, in a way, he probably is.
That is true. That is true. Yeah, they're all there. They're getting ready for Pride. Lisa asks Sheena to do her song, to sing Can You Freak Bitch on the Pride float. Sheena says, my song is huge in that gay community. They love it. And yeah, she basically keeps referencing the line that's like the girl. What is it? The girl I want to be? The girl you want to be?
Girl I want to be.
Girl I want. And she's like, because all the gay guys are, they want to be a girl, basically.
They want to be girls so that boy like them.
That boy like them, 100%. And yeah, Tom is like, Sheena, that you're not Lady Gaga. I don't know why you're acting like the gay community is so obsessed with you. I think she like performed in Chicago, I guess.
She played at one gay club in Chicago, and she's like, yes. And I'm actually huge to those people.
Yeah, to literally be like, it's giving those people energy. She literally says that community loves me.
Yeah.
Basically, we learn that they're going to wear white angel wings on the float. Which is so funny to me.
They are wearing straight up Victoria's Secret angel wings.
Well, the boys are. The girls are wearing small wings, which is really funny. So the boys have these like truly huge Victoria's Secret angel wings on.
It's
and then
so
the girls
funny.
Have
massive.
Kind of smaller ones. They're so big. And Tom is like pissed. He doesn't want to wear them. And he's like, well, don't you think we're going to like bump into each other? Lisa is like, yes, I don't care. Basically.
None of the boys want to wear them. The boys are so anti.
I know boys who usually don't really care about acting gay are having a huge problem with the angel wings for some reason.
Yeah, I don't really get it because they're not even that gay.
No, it's not any gayer than other stuff that they do.
The gay part is having your shirt off.
The gay part is dancing for the gay men.
Yeah.
The gay part is performing
part of the
at Pride.
Gay Pride parade.
Yeah, it's not the wings. I hate to break it to you. Lisa's like, I can't believe Tom, of all people, doesn't want to put on the wings because he's gay. Duh.
Sheena tries on a pair of wings and she's like, this is amazing. Like, I can totally booty pop in this. Sheena's big thing this episode is
Sheena
popping.
Yes, Sheena's kind of on a screed about like twerking lately.
Yeah,
she just learned about it, I think,
and she's taken by it.
Yeah,
so she's
like,
this is amazing, I can booty pop in this. We kind of cut to a confessional of Lisa being like, so funny every time Sheena says booty pop, because to me that just sounds like farting.
Yes.
It's like, Lisa! We are sort of just chilling with the boys. They're riding their bikes around Los Angeles.
It's so funny when they do things like that, sorry.
Well, we have so many scenes of Tom, and Jax hanging out outside doing something like nice together.
I know, they play like children together because they were at the park, remember? They literally hang out like babies. It's so funny. It's so strange.
I kind of like that about them because the girls are always going out to lunch and having wine.
I know.
They're always kind of like going outside into nature and goofing off.
Well, that's obviously my preferred method of hanging out, but it is so funny. They look so stupid on their bikes.
Yeah, well, it's so funny given that Jax is 33 years old to be riding around the streets of Los Angeles on his little teeny little bike with his guy friends.
Yes, because I'm like, if you and me and our friends were riding around on bikes, I'm like, that's the sweetest thing ever. These three grown men riding around on bikes in Hollywood, I'm like, this is literally so embarrassing and weird and strange.
But my God, it would make me laugh to run into them. They're riding around on the bikes. They're kind of just like chilling and chatting, whatever. Jax has his shirt on because of what happened last episode.
Yes.
Not the cancer, but the cyst. They're like, you have your shirt on. It's not a tumor, though. It's just a cyst, right? And he's like, yeah, it's just a cyst. Tom is like, so I actually never believed he had cancer. And I actually never believe anything he says ever because he's a huge, crazy liar. He's a massive, massive liar.
And at the end, he's like, but thank God he's okay. And it's like, well, why God? Because you knew he was okay.
You knew he was fine.
Because he was lying.
I don't know. I feel like we're setting up for the end of the season, the big end of the season. Because last season, Tom knows he's a liar always, but he's not taking digs at him for it, you know what I mean? And now he's kind of like being like, well, Jax is a crazy liar, and like being a little cutting with it.
I could see that. It's just like, but he still is like, but I'm so glad he's okay. And it's like, but you were never even worried that he was okay because you knew he was lying.
Well, that's gonna be his best friend forever. Like, he's gonna ride for his boy always. Jax is talking about how he's like super over Stassi because she was really unsupportive of the cancer, and she just kind of like came over and screamed at him about his loser medication and his supplement. But it's honestly a silver lining because now he can put all of his energy into dating all of Los Angeles.
Yes. Yes.
He's going to kind of focus on plowing his way through the early 20-somethings of Los Angeles.
Yes. He said during this little exchange when he's talking to the boys, he was like, or maybe it was in his talking head, but he was like, yeah, I just got back out there last night. And then he says that he was a little rusty, but he wasn't shy, which is such a horrifying combination of things to think about.
I did not realize he said that.
Yeah, so it's like, okay, so you were acting charmless, but you were really asserting yourself.
That makes me freak out. A little rusty, but not shy. Okay, so scary,
isn't that
in other words.
Literally scary, but you're describing being scary. Being so, like, I was not doing well, but I was really putting myself out there.
I wasn't prepared to stop.
I was like, no way. I know.
Ew. So yeah, I guess Jack says that, and then they pull their they pull their bikes over, and Tom Sandoval has a little surprise for the boys. Beers from his backpack.
Yeah.
Which made me laugh because when I would drink beers with my friends in college this style, we would call it Reebs with the Yobs, which is beers with the boys backwards. And I was like, Reebs with the Yobs, they're having Reebs with the Yobs. And they're talking about the float planning and how they have to wear these fucked up angel wings, and they're all upset about it. None of them want to do it. They share about Sheena, how she will be singing Can You Freak Bitch, and everybody is
Wait, before that, also, Tom brings up Kevin Lee, like, that he was there, and Jax goes, oh, no, again?
Yeah. I mean, they are not really that excited for Pride this year.
No, they are not excited at all this year.
Well, because Pride last year was bad. Ew, I hate Kevin Lee. So they're, like, upset about Kevin Lee. They're upset about Sheena singing her song because they hate it, because they fucking hate it. And
yeah,
then
because Sandoval goes, here's the best thing, Sheena. And then Jax cuts him off and goes, oh, God, she's not singing her song.
And then Tom Schwartz goes, Tom does an amazing impression of her dancing.
Yeah.
And then Sandoval does a literally amazing impression of her dancing.
He does do an amazing impression. He gets gay with it.
Yeah, he does get gay with it.
You don't want to put those damn angel wings on, but you're willing to fucking shake your ass.
Dude,
like Sheena.
He is shaking it. He's dropping it low and shaking his ass.
And he did a split. He did a split as well.
He did a split.
He does. He knows her choreo perfectly.
Yeah. Oh, see, it's like sometimes he's funny.
He is. I mean, sometimes they are funny. Jax was making me laugh too because saying to Sandoval about being on the Pride float, he kept saying, you have to stand up for yourself. So then we're at the Surf staff meeting. Ariana shows up and Sheena is legit so happy. Sheena loves Ariana so bad. It's sweet mm-hmm. and it's sweet and lame. It's both of those
and
things at the same time.
To me.
It is romantic. Sheena loves Ariana romantically. Mm-hmm. Kind of cuts to Kristen like seething kind of at Ariana, kind of staring daggers at her.
Yeah.
Yeah. Lisa introduced her and is like, Tom, you know Ariana. And Tom is like making a joke about her, being like, she's an okay bartender. And it's yeah. like, how about you don't flirt with the girl right now
no,
while your
literally.
Girlfriend is mad next
well,
to you?
I don't even know that Lisa brings Tom into it. Lisa is like, Ariana is going to be working here. She's been working for me for 3 years. She's an amazing bartender. And Tom kind of pipes up and goes, she's all right.
I think she
Keep
says like,
down.
Tom and Ariana have worked together before, which is like shady. But it is like, yeah. either way, don't say that. Don't be joking with that girl when your girlfriend is right next to you.
Well, it's like, don't do the thing that got you called out last week in
Literally.
Front of everybody. Whatever.
Yes, please. Basically, like, Kristen's tone has kind of changed. Last episode, she was humiliating herself by saying there's nothing going on between them, I having complete blinders on, just like not listening to any of the rumors about Tom and Ariana, even though they're kind of clearly falling in love in front of our faces.
Yeah. I mean, and romance is blossoming and Kristen is trying to find eye.
This episode, she's kind of opening her eye.
She has to, or else
she literally does.
True fool.
Yeah, she basically in her confessional is like, I'm trying to believe Tom, but it's just difficult. Lisa kind of reprimands the staff after she introduces Ariana and is like, don't be looking around at each other like that. Like, I think people are like shooting each other glances because of like Ariana being there. And Lisa's like, stop, which was making me laugh.
It's like, Lisa, okay, then why were you like, and Tom knows her.
No, literally. Why would you say that? You're inciting gossip and yeah. like drama and then being like, stop it.
You're riling them up on purpose.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, Lisa brings up the float. She's like, I don't want the same shenanigans as last year. Mm-hmm. And she also needs someone to stay at Sir.
Which is like,
and
no, you don't.
No, but it is so funny to have to stay and work at the restaurant while everyone just gets to drive around on the Pride float. I would be so pissed off, obviously.
Yeah, I would be so fucking mad. I would be so mad. And Lisa,
my friends are day drinking in a parade and I'm here. I'm going to kill myself.
Yeah, in a parade where like everybody loves you. And
yeah,
is, like,
literally.
Clapping and cheering for you.
And so, yeah, Lisa's like, if no one volunteers, then I'm just going to pick whoever was in the most trouble last, which is obviously Kristen.
LOL.
Kristen then has this kind of weird rant where she says, if it's me, Lisa, I put my hands up and said whatever you want. I'm listening now. I'm not fighting.
Yeah.
Which is her saying that she'll stay at the restaurant.
Yeah, because I guess like everybody would expect Kristen to be like, I don't want to stay. I want to go on the float. But she's trying to demonstrate that she's a changed woman and that she will bow to the whims of Lisa Vanderpump no matter what mm-hmm. they are, because she wants to keep her job and keep the peace at the restaurant. But it is like, just say, okay, I'll stay. You don't need
I know
to go on the weird speech.
You don't need to get on your little soapbox, but she does in her mind and heart. Jax is like, we need to have a discussion about the wings.
This was so odd.
The gay wings. I don't know why they care so much. And Christina Kelly is then like, you just don't want to wear the wings because you don't want everyone to see your tattoo. And yeah. so then Jax has to show his Stassi tattoo to Lisa. Yep. Lisa loves it, obviously.
Well,
is like,
first,
ooh la la.
Ooh la la. She says, ooh la la. You guys are together. She goes, ooh la la, how sweet.
She literally is so excited. It's so crazy. Stassi is like, we're not even together, smiling huge. Because she
yeah.
fucking loves that tattoo so bad.
Of course.
And
of course.
Of course. She loves it. And then Jax starts like yelling at Sandoval.
This made me laugh. So
it was
bad.
So funny. It was so funny. Jack starts yelling at Sandoval, being like, you in a billion years, you would never get your girl's name tattooed on your arm. I got my girl's name tattooed on my arm and we aren't even together.
Yeah, literally. Well, because people
Which
are
is
being
so
like,
embarrassing.
People are being like, wow, Jack, that is literally weird. That is weird.
Literally.
That you did that. And he goes, you've been dating your girlfriend for 5 years and you wouldn't get her name tattooed. And Sandoval goes, no, I wouldn't.
Yeah, he's like, I wouldn't do that. Duh.
I would not do that. And it cuts to Ariana too, being like, oh, weird.
Yeah, Ariana grimacing.
Yeah.
And it's so funny, him being like, I got her name tattooed on me and we aren't even dating. Saying it like it's a brag when it's literally like the actually
not
like
not a brag. That is
dumbest
so
shit he's ever
pathetic.
Done. Then, yeah, Ariana is kind of grimacing and she asks Sheena, she's like, is it always like this? And Sheena's like, mm-hmm.
Yeah,
yep,
basically.
Yes. Yes.
It's actually going better than it usually does.
Literally.
We are doing float prep at Lisa's house again. I think it's amazing how often they get to go over to their boss's
yes,
stunning mansion.
Yes.
It is a huge perk of the job, in my opinion.
I would agree with that.
The boys are kind of doing the bulk of the handy work. They're doing the stapling and blah, 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 whatever, like putting the shit on the float. Stassi wants to help a little bit, so she crawls up there. She tries using the staple gun. And then Ken is like, Stassi, Stassi. And she's like, what? Ken has procured an outfit for Stassi for the parade, which is very bizarre to me. A quote-unquote old-fashioned floozy outfit.
I thought that that was like a joke, actually, when they first brought it up here, because like later on we learn it's not a joke, but they don't explain it at all. They don't explain like what, like later on we learn that she's kind of like the princess of the float or something.
Yeah, she's like,
but they're talking about it. I'm like, what do you mean he got you an outfit?
And why did Ken pick it out? Yeah, she will be like sitting in a champagne glass on the float, like old fashioned floozy style.
It's so funny how Lisa favors her. Sorry. But
I know.
We'll get to it.
You know what? I'm glad that she's back in Lisa's favor. Like, she has Ken picking out the outfits for her. She has Lisa loving her, whatever. Sheena has been usurped. She's back down to her rightful place and Stassi's queen bee again.
Thank God.
Kristen and Ariana get brought up because they're kind of discussing the rumor mill. Nobody knows exactly what happened with Tom and Ariana, what, like, the rumors really are. It's kind of unclear. It's just a vibe that they've hooked up. And Stassi says that Tom has this pattern of getting close to girls and getting like quote unquote girlfriends, like friends that are girls. And Kristen like freaks out. And when it happened with Ariana, Kristen like freaked out, sent in spies to Villa Blanca and turned up nothing. So while these rumors have been circulating for years, there's never been any substantial proof or evidence to point to the fact that they have anything more than like a really kind of close friendship.
I don't know what's going on, but
I mean, that is interesting to me. That
it's definitely interesting to me that no one at Villa Blanca could say that they were hooking up.
Yeah,
I don't know if they would be stupid enough to tell people or do it in a place that they could be caught or whatever. I honestly stand on my theory that I think that they're having an emotional affair, but that they aren't really fucking, in my opinion.
I think so too. Well, okay, so we'll get to it later in the episode when the texts to Coachella come up. I thought that in a couple years from now, from when this situation is more blown over, we do learn
that they did hook up from Ariana
at Coachella, and we know that they hooked up at the Golden Nugget. But
I want to know the
truth.
Surprising
to me because, like, and never once really in the history of this show has anybody successfully gotten away with cheating in a way that they are seemingly able to right now.
That's how I feel too. Like, I just feel like their people on this show are so stupid. Like, I just feel like someone at Villa Blanca would have been able to tell Kristen, like, yeah, they hooked up. But I also wonder if, like, maybe it's a thing where it's like they literally hooked up, like, not once, obviously, but like a handful of times or something.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Like,
or maybe they were just fucking.
Maybe even once. I could see
at the Golden Nugget.
At the Golden Nugget.
Yeah, sorry to get sidetracked. It's just like, I would love to know.
This is just like the scheme of all ages because it's so vague. Like, usually the
details reveal
themselves.
I just really
want to
know the truth.
Yeah.
Yes. And it's just like too far gone at this point also because now they hate each other. Like, she hates him so much.
Yeah, we're
never
gonna know.
We'll never know. She will never admit.
We will never ever know.
I know. It sucks so bad. Like,
fuck.
It sucks so bad.
Anyways, end of this scene is basically just that the float gets stuck in the pavement.
Like, yes.
Randomly. I don't know. Somehow.
I think it's like so heavy that it literally like breaks a hole in the ground. It gets like stuck
in
there.
Breaks a hole into the pavement. And Stassi is like, this is Beverly Hills. This pavement is like gold. That sucks.
Yes. Then Sheena's back in the motherfucking studio, obviously. We are...
Sheena at the stew is what I wrote.
Sheena is back in the motherfucking studio, of course. First note I have is new producer Mike. Is he a pervert? Only time will tell. He actually turns out to not really be a pervert, which is,
I think,
huge for Sheena's career.
I think so too.
I think it's huge for Sheena that she is no longer working with straight up pervs. I think that's a big step for her.
Yeah, well, this is somebody like legitimately professional for the first time ever.
Yeah, who is not literally acting like someone who's directing a porn shoot. And Mike basically plays Sheena some beats and she says she likes it because it reminds her of Icona Pop. She's then in her confessional says, I've never had vocal training. I can't play anything past Yankee Doodle on the piano, but I was a cheerleader up until college. So
a cheerleader
that means that
up
she was
until college.
A cheerleader in high school. just to break that down. And a cheerleader basically has the same job as a pop star. You need to make sure every single person in the audience is engaged at all times.
Girl.
Girl.
Come on.
You cannot believe she does, though, because that's why she's so bad at it. But yeah. You really should not be thinking that, like, being a cheerleader is the same as being a pop star, because it is not. It's
and
not.
Because, wait, think about Sheena. Think about how many cheerleaders there are versus Sheena. How many pop stars there are.
That's so true.
Being a pop star is a lot harder, girl. You know
that. But to
that.
Her, it literally isn't. No, she doesn't know that. I don't think she knows that.
I know. Well, she thinks she, like, has the dance skills to be able to do it, and she doesn't need the vocals.
She does. She does think that all you have to be able to do to be a pop star is to dance, but she can't even dance.
I know.
So, well, I don't know about that.
She thinks of all of her... She thinks she can do anything she wants to do if she puts her mind to it, and that it won't take that much work, which is, like, a really funny attitude to have towards things. That's, like, what she felt about being a writer. It's how she feels about being a pop star. Like, I think she writes a book, so I'm sure that's how she feels about being an author.
Yeah, 100%. Then Sheena says, as we said, she's really into booty popping and twerking. So she says that she's deciding on beats based on whether or not she could booby pop to them. She is like, this makes me want to get up and twerk. She did definitely just learn about twerking.
I don't know.
She can't get enough of it.
But, like, what year is it? It's, like, 2015, is it not? Twerking's been around.
Yeah, well, of course. But isn't 2015 when Miley Cyrus started to twerk anyway?
Oh, maybe.
Because that is how Sheena would learn about it. Like,
yeah, 100% maybe, yeah.
I think that's how a lot of white people learned about twerking.
I was just going to say that, yeah, from a white girl on TV, of course.
Yeah, of course. Sheena says, I love being the center of attention. When I have a spotlight on me, a microphone in my hand, and everyone's looking at me singing my song, it's the best feeling in the world.
I get it. That's how I feel when I'm on the pod, when I'm talking
about. Yeah, literally, or doing karaoke. And they ask her what she wants her song to be about, like, the vibe, and she goes sexy, party, drinking, hot, fun.
Drinking made me laugh so much.
Drinking
sexy
is
party
so
drinking.
Fun. Sexy party drinking, hot fun. Literally an awesome answer.
Yeah, of course. And it's like, that's what you want your career to be, your music to be. Sexy party drinking, hot fun.
Look, okay. That's like what Kesha did.
Yeah, 100%.
Oh, yeah. And she says that, like, at the bar, people will, like, they'll play her song, and people will, literally in a negative way, be like, Sheena, I can't get your fucking song out of my head.
Yes.
And she's like, I don't care if it's annoying them. Like, they can't get out of their head. And I'm like, well, that's a good point. But it is so funny that people will be, like, coming up to her being like, dude, I can't, like, your fucking song is so annoying, and it's stuck in my head. It's so funny.
It really made me laugh, because it is like, yeah, it's stuck in my head the way, like, Crazy Frog is stuck in my head.
Literally.
In a way where I'm like, I wish I could rip my ears off. I don't want to be hearing this anymore. Not to me personally. I love Can You Freak Bitch. I love that it gets stuck in my head. It makes me laugh. But if I was a bartender at a bar and they wouldn't stop playing one of the waitress's songs over and over again, and it was that,
I'd be pissed off.
Okay, so now we're at the Wellborn, which is a bar, and it's kind of boy town. The boys are all hanging out there. Jax and Peter are there, and then Jax's friends Dave and Bennett are there. Just two guys that Jax knows, who he likes to go out with because they help wingman him.
They're his single friends.
Yeah, they're his single friends. He's been hitting them up a lot recently because he's single now too. They are not hot. None of these guys are hot. Peter is probably the hottest one there.
Which is saying a lot.
I mean, Peter is not ugly, but it's like...
But he has a weird, strange personality.
And he's got a vibe about him. Jack says that this is his preseason for dating. He's just warming up, getting back into the game. And his strategy for going out is that he sends the other guys in to kind of get, like, a temp check, I suppose. Like, see how the girls are faring, kind of lay the groundwork, and then he swoops in.
He says, I have my role when I'm with them. Listen, you guys go up first. I'll walk in about 2 minutes later. That's my smooth transition.
Yeah, what?
Smooth transition.
Smooth
brother,
transition.
What are you talking about?
Smooth transition into yourself? Like, I don't
literally. Whatever. That's my smooth transition is so funny.
He's explaining this while they are, like, cutting to the smooth transition happening. Mm-hmm. They're kind of courting this group of girls, one of whom is a ballerina who Jax has his eye on. He says, I've had relations with waitresses, porn stars, celebrities, but never a ballerina. And he's talking to her. He's kind of, like, courting her, getting mm-hmm. to know her. And
yeah, they're doing their mating call.
Yeah, he's doing his mating call. He's saying
his dance, literally.
He's saying in the confessional, it's kind of cutting back and forth between, like, confessional and this scene that's playing out. Mm-hmm. He's saying how he sees guys at the bar using all these one-liners, and it's, like, pathetic. He sees guys, like, trying hard to pick up girls using one one-liners on them, like doing the game, and it's like lame and it's stupid and like it like doesn't work and whatever, blah blah blah. Simultaneously, he is spitting his own game, which is asking the girl to tell him more about her life, and then before she can answer, he says, and yeah, I basically just got out of a breakup, not gonna talk about that though.
Yes.
Yeah, and like I'm getting a little bit too old to model, so that's really sad.
Yeah.
I'm 33, but I tell everybody I'm 30. And she's like, age is just a number. Age is just a number. Because she is, spoiler, 21.
Well, she looks about 19 years old, first
she
of all.
She looks so young. She has like a crazy high pony and like really thick foundation on. It seems like she doesn't go to the club that much. I don't know. I feel bad that that's his target.
I feel really bad that that's his target.
And then he like asks to kiss her. They kiss, whatever. And then he's like, let's go find your friend. It's just like, it's so classic boy move of him to like kiss her and then be like, let's go find your friends. Like, I'm not going to give you too much attention. I'm not going to show you that I care about you that much. I'm going to like lead you on, going to kind of nag you a little bit.
Well, and I think he kind of entrapped her into kissing by saying, would you want to go out to dinner with me sometime?
Yeah, 100%.
And I was like, you're not taking that girl to dinner. And then she's like, yeah. And then he kisses her and then they like go home together. I'm like,
yeah,
you have no intention of taking that girl on a date, obviously.
No. Anyways, they go outside. Who is there? Oh, Peter is there.
Peter is there with
her friend. Who is like draped all over him. Like, they are obviously going to hook up. And then Jackson and Miss Ballerina are outside kissing kind of maybe 5 or 6 times, no tongue, just staring at each other and doing like kind of an awkward smile in between. That was like hard for me to watch.
It was awkward. And the girls are like 20 years old. And
the girls are so young.
It's really awkward. It was like very awkward.
It's a very like passionless scene, which where like typically when you leave the club with somebody you're about to fuck, you're like, I don't know, like kissing with tongue or whatever. There's like some passion.
Yes.
This was like very stilted and extremely awkward. But ultimately they do walk away hand in hand. Implication, she is going back to his apartment. They're going to fuck.
Okay, so then it's Pride officially. Gina says, this is a day that means a lot to me. I have several gay friends, period.
This day means a lot to Sheena because she has several gay friends.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I feel the same way.
Oh my God, and me too.
She says, I'm so happy that I can be a part of this day, sing my song, and make all these guys the girl they want to be. She keeps harping on it. It's like, you have to stop saying the gay guys are girls. You have to stop saying that.
But to her, it's like the most clever thing she's ever thought of.
So then Stassi puts on a crazy ass hat.
Yeah, her old-time floozy outfit.
She has one of those hats with like feathers in them. I don't know what they're called.
It's like kind of a showgirl hat.
Yes, yes. And everyone is like, wow.
Lisa's like, I want that.
Yes, and this is when I was laughing that they actually made Stassi Pride Princess, because a bunch of the other girls are literally in like white cotton leotards, like from like American Apparel or Target. Yes. And Stassi is in a full on, like, literally costume, like, with, like, boning, and she's wearing a corset, and then, like, a top layer in this hat, and it's so funny just how much they favor her. It's, like, so fucking funny.
Well, and they built a whole ass prop for her to sit in. Way above all the other girls.
Yes, so they built a giant champagne glass for Stassi to sit in as well.
So funny.
Which is so funny. And so then Arjen and Tom are kind of like kikiing, and Tom is doing a gay voice saying, being like fierce.
Yes.
And his talking head, Tom is like, I'm actually kind of glad Kristen isn't here. She's a ticking time bomb when it comes to all these rumors about me and Ariana.
Yeah.
And he says he's going to try to keep his distance from her, from Ariana, not from Kristen.
He's doing a bad fucking job if that's what he's trying to do.
He is. Yeah. And then Stassi and Katie are like making fun of Sheena. They're like, I don't want to fucking listen to this bitch's song, blah, 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 blah. They go up to Sheena and are like, Sheena, this part is crazy.
This part is like, so funny.
They go, Sheena, how many times are you going to sing your song? Sheena goes, it's 44 times looped. And then we're probably going to play that twice. So it is going to be 88 times.
88 times.
Hello?
88 times.
That is insane.
It's so crazy. It's like, that how is long insane. Are you on the float for?
Stassi says to Sheena, go shit yourself. And Sheena says, go kill yourself. And
she goes,
laughs.
She's kill like, yourself.
Then like Stassi, Katie, and Christina Kelly try to recruit this random bitch named Tyranny, who's been in the past 2 episodes. I can't believe her name is Tyranny.
I know Tyranny. She's pretty.
Tyranny?
I thought Tyranny was pretty. Not the name. I don't think the name is pretty.
Of course, but I just mean like your name is Tyranny.
Well, I think it's T-I-E-R-N-E-Y.
Oh, it's not spelled the same, but it sounds the same.
Yeah.
They're trying to recruit her to be on their quote unquote team. They're saying like, we're the A team, the cool girls. And then the B team is like Sheena, Tina. Thank you. Yeah. Can't believe I forgot that. And Ariana and some other random bitch.
Yeah.
She is practicing her dances. Jax is in the confessional saying, I grew up in the suburbs of the Midwest. I didn't truly know what the whole gay thing was until I left Michigan. Especially being in the modeling world, there are a lot of, you know, .. gay people. I'm all for it. Let them get married. You know, let them be miserable like straight people.
Jax has never been like problematic in the way where he's like a bigot. You know what I mean?
No.
He's just like interpersonally a nightmare. He's totally fine with gay people. He actually loves them. He is a little bit mixed up about the language surrounding transness in general,
of course.
But he's not anti.
He's not anti, but he will call you a transvestite.
Yeah, but then he got corrected and he said, okay. He said, never mind, a transgender.
Lisa gets mad at them for drinking. Girl, what do you expect? They're going to, every pride, they're going to drink. They're going to drink every pride.
Yeah, she grabs Jax's beer out of his hand and tosses it on his stomach. And it's like, you should be grateful that they're having beers because last year they were just chugging out of bottles of hard liquor.
They put Stassi in the champagne glass.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. They have to lift her up and set her in.
And then Sheena basically is like getting mad because Stassi is like, it is crazy that Stassi's in the champagne glass and Sheena's the one performing. It makes no sense, obviously.
No.
And Sheena is like mad that Stassi is like physically above her, like taller than her, mm-hmm. which it's funny because she's like, why is she taller than me? Basically, is like what she's saying. But I do get it. It's like Sheena is the singer. Why is Stassi dressed up like a princess in the champagne glass? It doesn't make any sense.
Well, and
because it is like your eye when you look at the float is not being drawn to Sheena.
No, it goes straight to Stassi, and it's like you're looking at Stassi and there's a song playing in the background.
Yes.
Not like also, there's a musical performance happening.
Which I don't even know if that was the point because it is just a backing track that Sheena's lip syncing to. It's not a cohesive vision is what I will say.
No, they kind of flopped on the execution this year of the float. Yeah. I honestly think that they should just keep it simple, have them just dancing sexy up there instead of like trying to put on a show.
So then there's a little fight that happens.
Yeah.
Jax starts talking about dating in front of Stassi. He's being so fucking annoying.
He's being so fucking annoying because he's actually standing right next to Stassi.
Well, he's leaning on the champagne flute that she's entirely can't get out of. She's stuck in there.
Yep.
She had to be hoisted and she can't get out on her own.
He just like kind of brings up the fact that he went on
he is dating. And then everyone is basically just like, why are you talking about that? Like right here. Like you can hear the girl that he's talking to. I'm guessing it's Christina Kelly. I don't know. Is being like, why are you saying that in front of her? Like, why are you saying that?
Yeah.
Jax is just like, what? We're broken up.
He's just being obtuse as he
is being so fucking annoying. And
is choosing to be that way. He's like, it's actually no big deal because we're broken up and she broke up with me. So I'm allowed to talk about it because we're both single. And Stassi's being like, well, it's a thing of respect. And he's like, I don't understand because we're not together. So why am I not allowed to talk about it? Like, yeah, I mean, anymore.
Yes, he is being so intentionally annoying.
Yes.
And Katie then kind of drops the bomb on Stassi on accident that he took a 21-year-old home from the bar. Yep. Katie says that to Stassi and Stassi's like, what? And Katie's like, I thought you told me that.
Yeah, literally. She's like, wait,
no, I've been there before.
Me too. She's like, wait, no, you said you knew that. And Stassi's like, no, I didn't. She's like, wait. Yes, you did. Didn't you say that?
So who told me that then?
Who told me that?
Basically, or whatever. Wait, does Jax try to say, like, we kissed? He doesn't say he took her home, I think. He was like, I kissed her at the bar or something.
He was like, I think what he's saying is that, Stassi didn't know that he took her home, but he knew that they made out, or she knew that they made out at the bar. He's like, you knew we made out at the bar.
Oh,
and then
okay.
So I guess like he's being like,
she's like, whatever.
You could have inferred that I took her home. Like nobody explicitly told you that,
sure.
Blah, 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 blah. But it's like, there's a big difference between making out with a 21-year-old at the bar and taking a 21-year-old back to your apartment to have sex with her.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, Stassi is basically just like, can you please go talk to the other people? Like, I just don't want you to be like saying this shit around me. In her confessional, she's like, he's just looking for reaction, which he is. He literally just wants her to get mad at him. It's so fucking annoying. He's pissing me off as always. He's constantly pissing me off.
And it's like, she's like, unfortunately, sometimes I fold and I give him the reaction that he's looking for. But the thing is that she is trapped in a giant champagne flute on a moving car. And he is standing there screaming at her. She has nowhere to go. The only thing she can do is stand up and like pretend to have fun dancing to her fucked up coworker's song that is playing 88 times in a row.
Yes. Yes.
That is like, hell. Obviously you're going to freak out.
The float takes off.
Ken is driving.
Ken is driving, as always. Sheena starts singing her song while Jax and Stassi are fighting in the back.
They're like scream fighting over the song.
And Stassi is like upset that Jax is like talking, like just like talking all this shit in front of her after he, I guess seemingly essentially a week ago, was in Lake Arrowhead asking, begging for her family to forgive him.
Yes, so that they could get back together because he was so in love with her, he couldn't be without her.
And it is insane how he can just like flip the switch.
I know, but to him, he's like entirely over it. I mean, yes. Not really, because we'll learn later on what he's been texting her, but he has just like turned it off. He's like, no, I just don't. He's like, I don't remember just... that, basically. That doesn't mean anything to me anymore.
Well, I think he is still upset by it, or maybe could even, I don't know if he could acknowledge that, but it is just so crazy that like to him, it's like the second that I'm done engaging with this, of course I have to go start fucking a bunch of girls.
I mean, he's been wanting to do that the whole time, but he's been having to hold himself back.
I don't believe that he has been holding himself back.
With fucking personally. Other girls. But holding himself back talking about it, I mean. And being public with it.
That part he has been holding himself back from.
Yeah.
For the second year in a row, Stassi telling Jax, last time it was kind of Jax and Sheena, but she says again, that is so inappropriate, which makes me laugh. One of my favorite things to say. 2 years in a row on Gay Pride. And Jax is like, it's been over a year. And Stassi is like, you just got my name tattooed on you, which is a valid point.
Yep.
I would say.
Uh-huh.
And then she calls him a freak. She's like, you are a freak. Like, you are so weird.
That is inappropriate and you are a freak. She is saying a lot of my favorite phrases.
Yes. Literally saying a lot of my favorite things. Jax literally just keeps being like, I just don't get why you're upset. Like, we're exes. It's like, okay, you have to stop.
And
he is so annoying.
Jax, I know that you were just doing this to push her buttons. Obviously, that's why you're not walking away. But it is like, stop putting up this front as if this is annoying to you, because you would just turn around and stop talking about it. You are choosing to engage. You are cornering her when she has nowhere to go, fighting with her. So stop acting like she's inconveniencing you.
Yes. And so then eventually Lisa is like, can you please stop fighting? Like, it's about the gay guys. Today is not about you guys. Today is about the gay guys.
Please, today is about the gay guys.
Please stop fighting.
Oh my God. It's just so funny. Lesbians don't exist to them.
Oh, 100% they don't. No way. Stassi says that she's basically just like living in her worst nightmare, because it's Jax talking about how he fucked a 21-year-old and then Sheena singing her song over and over again, obviously. Mm-hmm. And it does feel like this would be one of the most like horrifyingly like sensory overload situations. Like, being on that float would give me a panic attack.
Absolutely.
To be literally listening to Sheena singing her song and then in the background of that is Jax and Stassi fighting, yelling at each other, I would have an anxiety attack.
And there's absolutely nowhere to go, and Ken, the worst driver in all of West Hollywood, is driving the float.
You're being throttled around.
And it's definitely hot outside and you're on there for hours.
No, the way that it is so hot at Pride in WeHo.
Yes.
Holy shit. Dude. Basically, Stassi, as Hannah says that if I hear this song one more time, I'm going to impale myself. They briefly drive past some anti-gay freaks and they flip them off.
Yep.
Which makes me laugh that like the entire business, like Lisa literally is like, we just give them the bird and keep on moving. Like everyone's like the company response to the anti-gay protesters is just to give them the middle finger and then like keep driving, which is so funny to me. Ariana is like, Lisa's like the grand marshal of WeHo. She's a gay icon, which is true.
Yeah, it is true. And I was like, Ariana is being earnest as like the only queer person in this crowd, basically, other than Sheena. But on the float, I was like, she actually has kind of reverence for this event, it feels like. The rest of them are like, gay pride. And Ariana is like, I love pride.
I could just see Ariana actually being friends with gay people.
I know, me too.
Like, in a way where the other people, I just don't really think they actually hang out with gay people at all.
Well, no, they have, quote unquote, several gay friends, which is giving sort of one gay person that you see occasionally.
Yes. One gay guy that you're like, that's my girl.
Yeah, it's like actually the guy who does your hair. So now we're back at Sir. It is super crazy crowded. It is literally jam-packed at Sir. And everybody who was just on the float now has to work, which sucks so bad, in my opinion. But
it does suck.
The nice
thing
is,
the girls don't really have to work.
Yeah, for the girls, they don't really have to work because nobody's ordering food. Like, the bartenders are absolutely slammed.
I know. I want to know how much money they made.
Me too.
Probably
so much.
Sure.
So much.
It's crazy.
It's like,
I wonder how much a bartender on the strip in WeHo makes on a Saturday night in tips. Probably so much money, right?
So. I mean, bartenders in LA, like my friend who worked at this restaurant Edendale. Shout out Edendale. The bartenders who worked there, it wasn't even like the most crowded restaurant of all time, and still like they were like rich. Like you can make so much money.
You must go home with like at least $1,000, right?
Yeah, more, I would say.
Right, more probably.
Yeah.
So crazy. Yeah. Anyway.
So crazy. Today of all days, Pride. It's like truly impossible to move. It's like body to body in there.
Yeah.
The girls kind of just get to chill for 8+ hours because again, nobody's ordering food. Nobody's like sitting at tables. So they are kind of hanging out in the back alley. Kristen is out there. She gets to join them. She has been trapped at the restaurant for this whole time in her little flower crown. She's wearing a busted ass flower crown.
Yeah. It's a headband that she has put down to crown level.
Yes. Yeah. The girls are just kind of chatting. They're like, ugh, we were on that float for so long. Kristen is like, okay, well, I was at the fucking restaurant. So please don't complain.
It's so funny that she was there alone. Sorry.
I know. I wonder.
I would be so mad and bored, but whatever.
Oh my God, me too. Well, she obviously had been drinking. Like, she gets drunker and drunker as this episode progresses.
She gets really drunk by the end of this episode. She is like belligerently drunk.
But she's like kind of really working her way through a glass of wine, I believe, while they're having this conversation. And she is telling the girls that she is going to confront Ariana because she found some texts between Ariana and Tom on Tom's phone.
Well, at first she's like, let's go inside and have a drink at the bar. And then Stassi is like, no, because you're going to confront Ariana.
And well, yeah. And she's like, and yes, I am. It's yeah, just she's so crazy.
Not, I don't even think Stassi is not against it, but I think Stassi is just like, I don't want to be there for that.
So they have this conversation. So Kristen found these texts on Tom's phone, which are honestly, yeah, they're kind of damning in my opinion. They're not like, it's yeah, not kind like of obvious. It's damning in the fact that clearly your boyfriend likes another girl more than he likes you.
100%.
And that sucks. That sucks. Kristen went through Tom's phone.
It's not damning in the way that they have hooked up.
It's not evidence that they fucked, but it's evidence that they are falling in love with each other.
Yes.
Kristen goes through Tom's phone, quote unquote, pretty often when he's not around.
Yes.
And so she did that last night. She found these texts. The texts are Ariana saying, I just want it to be Coachella again.
God, they love being hipster. It's so awesome. I love them.
And Tom says to her, yeah, me too. We'll just have to have our own in the yard with a boombox, which is blatantly romantic.
One of their adventures.
Yeah, one of their crazy random adventures. And so Kristen is like, I have to confront her. I don't know what I'm going to do. Like, what if she says like that they're not fucking or whatever? And Stassi is basically like, well, Kristen, she is going to say that. She's going to say that they are not hooking up with each other. They've never hooked up, that they haven't fucked. But what you need to do is keep your chill and just tell her, like, please don't be texting my boyfriend like this. Because you know Ariana's not going to own up to it. So you just have to, like, put your boundary down in this conversation. Right. And Kristen is like, okay, got it.
Kristen's like, sure, writing that down.
Yep.
In one ear, out the other, obviously. Yeah.
She is like, okay, well, I'm just going to go do it right now, which is so psycho. Kristen just got in trouble for like fighting on the job. Do not do this. Yes. But she walks into the lounge. She approaches Ariana. She goes up to her. She says, hey, girl, sup? And Ariana goes, sup? And she goes, okay, be honest with me. Have you ever hooked up with my boyfriend?
She says, be straight with me. She acts in a way that is humiliating throughout this entire conversation, obviously.
This scene made me literally so sad for her. She walks
it
up.
I kept writing down, like, girl, this is so embarrassing. You have to stop. Like,
it really, really was brutal.
It's really embarrassing. I'm sorry to be so rude, but it's, like, humiliating what she's doing.
She is trying her best to put on this, like, nonchalant, chill girl attitude. She's, like, attempting to lay a little bit of a trap, like trying to be like chill with Ariana, being like, hey, have you ever fucked my boyfriend? Like, literally no big deal, just let me know. You ever kiss? You ever had sex with each other?
You are coming to this interaction with such an disadvantage when you are the person coming at it begging someone to tell you if they've fucked your boyfriend.
Yeah.
You can't do that. You can't manipulate her
into telling you what you think is the truth. She has the upper hand in every imaginable way. She is not going to fall for your tricks.
And
especially
also
when
it's
your
just
trick
like,
is just being like trying to be chill.
And you just have to break up with your boyfriend.
Yeah.
When we have reached the point of you literally begging another girl to tell you whether or not she and your boyfriend are currently having an affair together in front of your face.
Yes.
You have to call it quits.
The relationship is just over. It doesn't matter if it's true or not anymore. It's too far gone.
The trust is gone.
The trust is broken.
Obviously.
It can't be rebuilt. So Ariana is like, no, we are just friends. We truly have never hooked up. Kristen thinks it's suspicious that Ariana is so chill and not defensive.
Before that, when after Ariana says 100% no, we have hooked up, we haven't hooked up, Kristen says rock and roll, love that.
Yeah, rock and roll, love that. Well, she's floundering. She's losing her mind.
It is actually so embarrassing, this scene.
She's like, it's really kind of bizarre that Ariana is not being more defensive, which is like, no, it's not.
It's not bizarre. She thinks everyone is crazy like her, obviously. Because it's like, on the one hand, if you actually weren't guilty, you wouldn't be defensive, obviously. Like,
yes.
If Ariana was telling the truth, she would also be acting the way she is now, probably.
Well, that's just Ariana's demeanor as well.
Yes, and also because Ariana is like smart and knows like if I blow up at Kristen, it's going to make it look like I have way too much stake in this and that Tom and I are hooking up. She's not going to do that. Like, she is smart. No,
she obviously wants to be with Tom. Like, she and Tom are hooking up. She is just biding her time until Tom and Kristen break up, which is like inevitable. Like, it's going to be soon-ish. So it's like there's no point in Ariana causing more drama when Kristen is just doing it on her own.
No, literally. I mean, this whole thing just makes Ariana look better and better.
Yeah, so Ariana is being like, no, we never hooked up, being absolutely cool as a cucumber. Kristen is saying it's really hard to have this conversation, accusing somebody of fucking your boyfriend when she's being super, super chill.
Mm-hmm.
And then Kristen starts having somewhat of a breakdown, crying, being like, it's just, this is really, really hard. I'm super insecure about our relationship. It feels like Tom doesn't like me anymore. I'm not a fun girlfriend. Like, I'm losing my mind. She says, this is really hard, especially given like he went to Vegas and he had sex with a girl in the shower with no condom. Like, I just don't know what to do.
I'm so insecure. Stop telling her that. It is literally so embarrassing.
You have to walk away.
First of all, I'm on my hands and knees begging you to tell me if you have fucked my boyfriend. Second of all, I am so insecure. This relationship is not going well. I'm really jealous of you.
I'm super jealous of you.
My boyfriend fucked another girl raw in the shower and I'm down bad from it. It's like,
you need to drag yourself away from that conversation. You cannot engage with that anymore. And Ariana is just like staring at her.
She's literally grimacing at her.
She is grimacing at her, being like, I'm sorry that your boyfriend fucked some random bitch in Vegas. That's not my problem. Stop taking it out on me, I guess. Like, I didn't do that to you.
And she's not even taking it out on her. She's like dumping on her. She's not attacking her. Which also wouldn't be embarrassing, but it's almost more embarrassing the way she comes to her, like, literally, like, just dumping it on her.
Well,
like,
she is seeking some kind of, like, female friendship support. I think the other girls won't have it from her anymore. They won't talk about it with her.
Well, and I think she wants Ariana to be like, I understand why you're anxious and why you're insecure about this, but we're not hooking up. But Ariana just, like, clearly doesn't like Kristen, has no interest in building any kind of bridge with her because she wants to be with Tom, obviously. She's just sitting there giving her nothing back, and it is literally really hard to watch. It's so hard to watch.
Ariana has no motivation to give Kristen any kind of sympathy or empathy. She just straight up doesn't like her as a person. She like thinks that she's crazy and needs to be medicated.
Kristen is coming at me from a place of needing to be medicated.
Yes, she is like really not interested in like extending a hand of friendship. That literally won't happen for another 10 years until Tom cheats on Ariana. Ariana is like, I don't know, Kristen is really insecure. What I think is that she started these rumors, like she was talking some jealous shit like years and years ago. It circulated all the way through everybody and it got back to her, which would be like a valid theory to posit, other than the fact that that's not what happened, because the rumors are true, because Ariana and Tom are engaging in some kind of affair.
Totally. That is a good point, but you guys are falling in love with each other on camera, so
yeah, it's like, well, people are seeing and observing and coming to Kristen with it, and Kristen is actually seeing it with her own eyes as well, so it's not that, but good point. It could be
a good point, sister.
If it wasn't this, it could be that, but it's
totally
not. Kristen is basically like, okay, and like walks away.
So it's awkward, like this literally the only time that we see Ariana smile at Kristen is at the very end, when Kristen is like, Kristen basically is like, okay, thank you,
and then
Ariana's like, yeah girl, see you later, like smiling at her, and it's like, oh, it's like brutal, so fucking embarrassing, like,
because it's really like literally Kristen, so I mean, they just went through something so terrible together.
It is just like the definition of like, you need to stand up, like it is like really really embarrassing. Kristen has done a full 180 from last episode as well, and now is being like eaten alive by the rumors.
She's just disintegrating in front of our eyes. Like, she is crumbling. She's kind of like rotting from the inside out. Like, her life is falling down around her, and she has nowhere, she has no corner to turn to anymore. Like, there's no hiding from it.
And then we're in the back alley. Jax comes out, of course, and he is sitting across from Katie and Stassi in the back alley in like a little chair by himself.
Yeah, he's sitting kind of far away from them in a chair.
And they're like, Jax, and he's like, I don't want to talk to you guys. I'm on my break.
You know what? I actually do kind of get, because it is so fucking busy in there. There's no way if I was on my break, I would want to be talking either. I'd want to sit on my phone for like 15 minutes.
I know, but don't, he sat himself right across from them. I know, in their line of sight.
He sit himself like
or go out front. Facing them. He literally is doing this for attention. And something I noted is that the girls act like high schoolers, but Jax literally acts like a middle schooler.
Yes.
Like, he literally does like middle school tactics. It's so crazy. Like, he's really acting like a middle schooler in this episode with like what he is putting out there.
Well, it is really middle schooler to sit directly in front of somebody. Yes. And then when they say your name, be like, what?
I don't want to talk to you. Okay. Stassi basically just keeps being like, you're a bad person. You're a bad person. Jax says, what am I? I'm not ashamed of anything. Did I hook up with a girl? Yep, I did. Sorry.
Yep, I did. Sorry.
Okay. Right. And Stassi is basically just like, it's actually not about that. Like, it's just that I don't like that you were talking about it in front of me.
Yeah.
And Jax then is like, I get it. I'm a loser. Being victimizing himself like, for no reason.
Well, he's like trying to throw her words like back at her because she like called him the loser medication and whatever. I think he's like, yeah, sure, whatever, I'm a loser, I'm a fucking loser.
This whole episode though, she isn't even being that mean to him at all.
She
honestly
wasn't being mean to him. I mean, or, he like, is literally just him that still bad. So mad about the supplement thing, I think.
Yes. Jax is basically just like, if I'm such a bad guy, then why did I text you this morning reminding you that it was our 1 year anniversary of breaking up? What are you talking about? Hello?
He goes, if I'm such a bad guy, why am I doing outreach?
Acting like it's a charity outreach. Acting like it's literally philanthropic. And the outreach is that he is texting her being like, friendly reminder, it's a 1 year anniversary of breaking up.
Yeah, we broke up last year on this day.
It's like, so that's more proof of you being a bad guy. Why the fuck would I want you to text me about that?
She literally is like, wait, stop doing that. Stop.
Yeah,
I don't
she's
want
like,
you to do that.
Literally, she's like, actually, now that you brought it up, that'd be great if you would stop doing that. Oh my God, he is fucking demented.
Well, because we also
demented.
Learned that he's been texting her, like, I love you so much. I want you back. I want you bad.
Yes,
I can't
literally
stop thinking about you.
Literally. She's like, yeah, please don't text me, stuff like that. And he's like, you don't want me to text you?
Oh, what? All of a sudden, you don't want me to text you?
What? All of a sudden, you haven't been responding at all. You don't want me to keep texting you?
She shows her phone and he's texting her like 15 times.
She literally is texting her things like, I love you. My head is still wrapped around you. I'm not ready to go out with all these girls. I don't like hooking up with all these girls. I miss you so much. And she's like, I have not responded to a single one of these texts. Like, I don't know what to do at this point. It's so crazy.
He's like so crazy.
Wow.
Okay. So now you want me to stop harassing you?
It's so crazy that he thinks that him showing her kindness is texting her that morning, we broke up a year ago. Like, that is like literally a torment. Like, he's tormenting her and he thinks that is him like showing her love.
He has such a twisted and demented mind that he thinks that is love and kindness and friendship and care.
Because he is genuinely like, you don't want me to text you anymore? Yeah, girl. You're blowing my phone up crazy style, sending me the most fucked up shit of all time. I do not want you to text me anymore.
I'm not fucking answering. I haven't been answering. So yeah, I don't want you
literally
to text me anymore.
Oh my God.
Please stop doing your outreach on me.
Literally. Your outreach is so funny. And yeah, Jax basically then is like, Stassi is being vicious to me. She's like considering Stassi's ability to blow up at someone and how crazy Jax is being towards her, literally cornering her in places where she cannot escape and talking shit right next to her. She is being very level-headed, honestly.
Yes, she is. She's like, not crying. She's not like freaking.
She's barely even screaming. She's literally just being like, please go away. Anyway, that's the scene. It is crazy. He is like so fucked up. It's insane. Outreach is so funny. Doing outreach to my exes.
Doing outreach
harassing
to my exes.
That parentheses harassing them.
I've been in a place of doing outreach to my exes before, and they have also wanted me to stop as well.
Same.
Okay, so now we have a really quick but perverse scene inside of Sir where Lisa is telling us that Ken is super relaxed in the gay community because he wears his little pink shirts and he's like hugging a bunch of gay guys or whatever. Basically, it's like just to show that, like, I don't know, Ken rocks with the gays. And then the final image of this scene is Ken like reaching through a window, basically, and from behind pulling down some man's underwear to expose his ass, and then like giggling and smiling and looking around. It's so weird. So we're inside, Sir. It's super busy still because it's gay pride, of course. And Kristen is kind of shoving her way through a throng of people to get to the bar. She's doing her classic Kristen stomp, but there's so many people in her way. She gets to the bar and she's like, Tom. And he's like, give me 1 second. And she goes, Tom, Tom, come talk
and
to me now.
Once again, y'all, it is like literally slammed. The bar is slammed.
Yeah,
and Kristen is like, Tom, we need to talk right now.
Tom is making a drink. Tom has a cocktail shaker in his hand, is shaking it. He's like, what, Kristen? She's like, we need to talk literally right now. It cannot wait.
Well, so that's actually not what she says.
What does she say? She says, Tell me to talk right now.
She says, Ariana just told me everything. Can we go talk?
Oh, yeah. Well, because so she has this special little plan. She knows, and we all know.
But she is really drunk also. So
yeah,
she's
super drunk. She has this plan. We all know. She knows. Ariana told her absolutely nothing. In fact, what happened was that she humiliated herself in front of Ariana by crying about how insecure she is about her relationship. Tom doesn't know that because he's been working. She says, Ariana told me everything. We need to talk right now. She is going to tell Tom that Ariana confessed way more than she did to kind of gauge Tom's reaction, see what he has to say, see if he'll confess anything in light of that information. So she brings him outside and she's like, do you have anything you want to say to me? You have anything you want to tell me? And he's like, no. And then she pulls up the phone with the texts and she shows it to him and he's like, literally, what is this? I don't know. Like, I don't know what this is. And she goes, I'm showing you screenshots from your own phone. Like in a gotcha moment.
Yeah, she kind of is like acting like this is a smoking gun, but she's not sober enough to be coherent at all. Yeah. So Tom is like, what are you talking about?
Yeah, she's really undermining her own case. She could have had some kind of basis of a case by showing these text messages and saying you are obviously having an emotional affair. She does not have the capability to do that in this moment because of her level of intoxication, her lack of sobriety. So she's kind of just like, look at what I found. And he's like, my text messages. Yeah, you go through my phone all the time. Doesn't matter to me. It's just part of dating you.
She even tries to like piece together a timeline that doesn't make sense.
Yeah, she's like, you texted Ariana at 1:50. You texted me at 2.
And he's like, what?
Yes. And she's like, and see, you see that? And he's like, honestly, no.
No.
I really don't
honestly,
know what you're
talking
about. She is just like literally full on drunk investigator mode. And he's like, stop doing this. Stop. You're searching for stuff. You're searching. And she says, yeah, obviously I search and I find things because it's true. When she goes looking for something, she finds something.
Yeah. Yeah. She went investigator mode and she found that girl from Vegas. So
yeah.
It's hard to track because she's so drunk. So there's not like a super logical narrative to follow.
No.
Of the conversation,
it,
I would say.
Ultimately, it's just the same fight that they always get in. They always have been getting in. It's the reason their relationship has to end. If you can't move on from a certain fight, you have to break up.
Because she brings up Vegas again. And Tom is like, is this about Vegas? Girl, it's always about Vegas. This whole thing is about Vegas.
It is always going to be about Vegas.
Yeah, Kristen basically is like, I never trust you and I never want you to leave my side because of that fact.
Yeah, she was like, I never want you to go out anywhere without me, like to the club or like literally even at this point now to work. Like, you can't go anywhere without me. I'm scared you're going to cheat on me.
And then she kind of storms off.
Yeah, and that's the end of the episode.
And Tom, really quick, is wearing white shorts with combat boots.
Tom's outfit is so bad. Yep,
he's wearing white shorts with combat boots. So
he's wearing really, really chunky combat boots.
My villain is obviously Jax. He was being so fucking annoying.
My villain is always Jax because he literally just is annoying. I don't know that I have a hero necessarily.
Me neither.
Like, nobody was like really going above and beyond for me this episode.
No, I agree.
Maybe Ariana. Yeah. Just because I like her.
She could have given Kristen a little bit more. She could have been a little bit kinder to her, but
she's not
going to do that.
I mean, I posted like a clip of Ariana being a bitch about Kristen and people are all commenting like, damn, I hated Ariana this season. It's true. She's really not being very nice at all.
Yeah, she's being really mean.
She's being really mean.
She's and like Kristen, she has such an upper hand Like, yeah. Kristen is, like, so down bad.
You could give her, like, and a second of grace.
Yes. Just to be literally, as I said, like, in that exchange, to say, like, I understand where your insecurities are coming from. Like, this makes sense. I feel like would have meant a lot to Kristen just to validate, like, your feelings make sense and I see where you're coming from. But no, we have not hooked up. But she literally is, like, stone cold.
Yeah.
Like, ice cold.
Like,
to her.
Ice cold.
Ice cold, yeah.
All she gives her is that one smile at the end. And Kristen is, like, basically already gone. And Kristen is crying so hard and is so drunk that it's, like, doesn't even matter. She can't even see it. Oh, no. It really made me feel sad.
Yeah, it is sad. It was sad.
I don't like to see a girl down that bad. It makes me feel upset.
Yeah, me too. No, it's not like Kristen deserves it.
No, even though Kristen is the craziest B-word in the world.
Okay, rate, review, and subscribe.
Please, guys, join the Patreon as well.
Yeah, join the Patreon. And that's all.
Okay, right? Love you guys. See you later.
I hope this thing sounds even a little bit normal.
Okay.